Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews, like a book club for people who hate reading. This week's our theater pick, so we pick Star Wars, The Forced Awakens. We bring you movie news, and this week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston.
The Force Awakens.
Yeah, close enough. I want to...
credit for trying.
I'm going to end up starting the show with a little bit of a dour news. One of the hosts and a family member of Real Flicks Reviews has passed away, Jeff Michael.
Yeah.
And so this week's pick is going to be a movie that he's been begging me to watch for quite a while. So we want to, you know, just say goodbye to a longtime friend and, you know, another person who talks during movies and pisses everybody off.
But always has really good questions about it.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, they're
pretty good questions.
Usually you get, hey, shut.
That's like, oh, shit, he's got a point.
Exactly.
The kind of guy that'll ruin the movie from the back row, just like, wait a second, it was in the thing. You're like, oh, shit, he's right.
That's our friend. So I'm going to read what Star Wars Force Awakened.
The Force Awakens.
You know, close enough.
The Force Awakens.
3 decades after the defeat of the Galactic Empire, a new threat arises. The First Order attempts to rule the galaxy, and only a ragtag group of heroes can stop them, along with the help of the Resistance. The Resistance?
The Resistance. You basically got the Galactic Empire and the Rebel Rebels. Force. Yeah. Or the Rebel Alliance, rather.
I love that... I actually kind of like the twist on the robot, the BB-8.
The kind of gyroscopic type thing that he had going on.
I heard that was a practical effect. That wasn't CGI.
Well, I'll tell you this. I know a guy who's got the little toy that works exactly the same way.
No, nice.
I want to know how it works, because that was probably the most impressive thing was that little droid.
I still look like it would be a pain in the ass going sand. I like that, though.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's just a magnet, you know what I mean, on a little gyro ball thing.
Yeah, wait, hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, I think, generally, I don't do this, but because this is Star Wars, I'll give you a warning, we're going to spoil the living crap out of this movie.
If you don't want the movie, please turn this off right now.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, you know... I think they'll be okay with knowing that James Earl Jones wasn't the guy in the costume. Just right? Putting that out there, you know.
Oh, guys. And the other thing, something in this movie was extremely predictable. I'll tell you what later.
Okay.
But I was actually
getting into it.
I don't know. I kind of like the opening scene. I love seeing kind of the wreckage of all the battles. You know.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
That definitely, I thought, set the pace and the tone for this movie. And this movie was slow. This wasn't the typical, like, sci-fi movie that's been out the last couple of years. You know, solid, fast pace. This was a slow burn.
You know what I actually really enjoyed is looking at some of the background actors that were not necessarily star characters. Usually had a line or two, or you just see them in the background. And you recognize them from the first three that were released in the 70s and 80s. Did you notice that? There was a bunch, like Lor San Tekka. There was also one of the commanders from Empire Strikes Back was in the background when the guy's giving the speech.
By Admiral Akbar.
There was a bunch of that stuff, and I actually enjoyed that. I was like, wow, I mean, it's great that those guys are still alive and they can be back there.
And it's more amazing that Disney let them. I mean, that Disney respects the product so much.
Sure. I think they knew exactly what they were getting themselves into. And they nailed this so much. And like John said, I mean, it really was pretty damn slow. I mean, they were relishing the setup on this one. You know what I mean? Yeah. Right to that last moment when she's about to fucking hand Luke Skywalker a lightsaber. I freaking loved the way Mark Hamill. Holy shit. The way Mark Hamill looked with his beard and in the robes and whatnot.
He looked he looked haggard. Oh. I mean,
he did.
But of course, on the other hand, he's looked
like pounced though, like he like not haggard so much as just like, oh man, now I gotta go be like the real gangster.
Yeah. On the other hand, he's looked old since Return of the Jedi. So
I want to bring this up, and it was something that Ryan and I kind of discussed a little bit because we had a little bit of discussion before the show about the movie.
You broke.
But
the rules.
One of the things is, you know, I thought the most intriguing and fascinating scenes is Harrison Ford.
What
when
about?
He first walks back on the Millennium Falcon. I was saying this to Ryan, is I would have loved to have been on set when he stepped foot on the Millennium Falcon set. And just to see his face, because even in the movie, his face was like beaming as he's looking around. And I mean, you could tell that that the initial glow had wore off, but there was still enough.
I'm sitting here thinking, like, I wonder if J.J. Abrams is the type to say, no, I don't want you on the Falcon until you walk on the scene.
Yeah, he totally, I could see him doing that.
I think J.J. Abrams.
If that was the case, man. I hope it was.
Yeah. That seems like him.
Looked like such a genuine look.
It did.
Yeah, no, that he's such a fanboy. I could, and he's such a good director. I could see him being like, yeah, you stay away, you know. Matter of fact, I loved the homage they did to the original movies by that one scene.
Oh, yeah.
And
there was a lot of scenes.
Well, there's Rey and Finn. When they got on the Millennium Falcon, when they're in space and they had that one pit thing and something broke. You know, because there was something wrong in the area originally in the 4, 5, and 6. I don't remember which one it was.
It was the same area, but I don't remember their technical term.
And I also love the
homage that blew me away was, do you remember when they re-released them back in the late 90s, right before they came out with the prequels?
Yeah.
And they released them, and there's that scene when where they break off the trash thing and they go in to the, before they get on the trash. Okay. I'm totally screwed up. When they're in the asteroid belt.
Okay.
And they're running from the TIE fighters and they jump up and they go straight up and then dive down into the worm.
Yeah. Right.
Now, do you remember what that felt like? When you were sitting in the seats?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And when you saw it again, I mean, like you said, you and I had kind of talked about this for I don't know, 10 minutes the other day. And there was a handful of little callbacks, that being chief among them.
Yeah. He's really drawing this one out.
I know. It's like, talk about a wait. So I guess
just kind of on Sting's merit.
I was going to say, one of the parts I thought was fun during the space scene with the Millennium Falcon was BB-8. Okay. Like, because you saw him, you wonder, okay, how's this guy going to handle a spaceship when it's, you know, trying to move around? You see him kind of circling around the drain.
Yeah.
And like at the end of it, he just shoots all that stuff out.
Yeah, that was a cool little trick. I still think, you know, I mean, I enjoyed this robot. I thought that this one was pretty good.
It's a tad bit gimmicky.
Yeah, it was a tad bit gimmicky. It was kind of seemed like they were really pushing him to be like a new R2-D2 that fans gravitate towards.
I mean, for me,
I think they pushed it a little much, is really what I
kind of
felt.
I kind of agree with you. I agree with you in that it was gimmicky. I don't think that it was at a net loss, though, because they had so many good things they were going for him. One, they brought the comedy relief back to a semi-realistic place. C-3PO isn't fucking Archie Bunker, you know what I mean? Like cracking one-liners.
Yeah, he's not me yet.
He was an actual character that had a purpose. What's it called? The completely lost my train of thought. BB-8 was a stark contrast to something like Jar Jar Binks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was going to say, the only way they could make this movie better if somebody beheaded him.
That's the thing. But J.J. Abrams is a Jar Jar fan Binks. And did bring it back to a good place. He basically changed all the things that we would have nodded back to the kind of things that we liked.
I think
they did do it a handful many times.
I think it was good enough to leave the prequels out of it, you know, because some movies, you know, you're doing a sequel to later in the story. For some reason, they'll do a nod to the beginning. I think this is literally a straight sequel, and, you know, it has nods to the original, and that's it. And I really appreciate that.
They didn't use too much of R2-D2, because that's Luke's battle droid. You know what I mean? So they introduced this new battle droid for the new pilot, and kind of left R2 because, you know, I mean, again, it's Luke's droid.
Yeah.
I would say, I think they pushed BB-8 perfectly. I think if they did it any more, then it would be obvious that, hey, look at this guy. This is the new R2-D2.
The new shiny thing being
flourished. Yeah, it kind of seemed like that's what they were trying to do, but I think they were more trying to give fans who didn't grow up watching this, you know, they only saw it maybe a couple times when their parents are like, hey, you haven't seen this yet. So I think it's
They're a six-year-old to watch Star Wars, right?
Yeah. So that's what I'm kind of saying is, like, this is something where I think the younger crowd, you know, preteen and younger, will go for BB-8 over R2-D2. And I think that's kind of where they're going.
Right.
See what I'm saying? And it was also, I enjoyed the pilot that they had. Hold on, I'm pull up his name.
You mean not Finn, the other guy, right?
Not Finn.
Is it Poe?
Yeah, Poe. There he is, Oscar Isaac. I actually enjoyed his character. I thought it was really good. And I didn't really feel like he was, because I think what they could possibly push them was like, he is like a new Han Solo. I didn't think that's what it was. I enjoyed his character, and they did a really fantastic scene where they kind of did the Avengers 360 battlefield thing.
Yeah.
Where you had the Finn shoot, you know, fighting the ground troops, and you also had Poe doing it simultaneously fighting the TIE fighters. And I thought the way they did that scene
was really well done.
It was visually freaking awesome, even for the small amount of action scenes that they had. But what made it so good was, and this is what I kind of called from the beginning, not like it was a big stretch, but Abrams likes to build things. He likes things to be tactile, you know?
Yeah.
And that would always be the allure to me of the original Star Wars movies, was it looked so authentic, you know, because that building exists, that bar existed.
Yeah, the scenes, the sets in this were amazing. I would kind of going back to you guys talking about before, the battle scene we were talking about.
Yeah.
I loved kind of when they had Finn use the lightsaber. I like the fact they showed that anybody can use it, but to be good at it, to really get the finesse, you have to be a Jedi.
Well, that's the thing
that's the part I like the most.
Is becoming a big internet argument over, because there's two schools of thought here, and there are some canon, and they're not sure. This is up in debate in the internet world. I'm not joking. Well, I've looked this up.
They're probably talking about the former expanded universe.
Yes, where they're saying that only a Jedi can wield the lightsaber. Now, they're either alluding to the fact that either Finn is Force-sensitive, which goes back to the theory that Han is Force-sensitive as well, because he used a lightsaber to cut open the Tauntaun to stuff Luke in there. And then there's the other school of thought that's saying, okay, well, no, because you can turn a lightsaber on. There was supposedly people in the universe who are rich that bought lightsabers. But like you said, to truly wield it and become one with it, to be kind of like, oh, why am I drawing a blank on the girl's name? Well, like
when Qui-Gon Jinn and all the other characters, you know, they were reflecting laser blasts back.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, that you got Rey, who when she encountered Luke's lightsaber, she encountered all the things that the lightsaber had experienced.
Yeah, she had a vision.
There's two schools of thought there. I think what Disney is alluding to is the latter one, where you do not need to be Force sensitive to use it, to turn it on.
Yeah, I kind of like that mythos better, because I think it helps show you how badass the Jedi really are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the things where it's like, you know, I kind of always liked the lure that, you know, Force sensitive could use lightsabers. But, you know, it's one of those where it's like, I'm not going to throw a fit over it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because there are some guys on there that are really throwing a fit over it.
So how did you guys like the new Death Star?
I thought it was actually pretty cool.
I was really wondering how they were going to do it. And I actually thought it was pretty cool that they pretty much hollowed out a planet and then somehow they suck a sun dry and the sun regenerates. And I was really impressed. I actually thought they wouldn't do another Death Star or it would be cheesy. And they did it pretty good. I was really impressed.
Yeah. The other thing that I thought that was really cool. I thought the way they designed it and the way they were doing it. And why do they always have to come up with some contingency plan that it's like, dude, okay, you know that is a weak spot. How come you don't have massive forces there? Like Kylo Ren showed up and he's the only one bringing forces there. Where were the guys?
By the way, Kylo Ren's kind of a little bitch.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
But
just
but,
because he looks like the guy from Grandma's Boy.
Well, no.
I was trying to stay away from that.
No, actually, my reason for saying
he
that
he is a trained Marine, guys. Watch
well,
it.
The reason why I was saying that, and it's because the character was battling light and dark. Which, by the way, I have a feeling the character is going to end up finding redemption later on in the series. I have no doubt about that.
Well, of course. I mean, his master's Gollum.
Right.
I mean, totally.
For a giant hologram golem.
And yeah. So I gotta warn you, what I'm about to talk about is a major spoiler. So just to warn you, you're either gonna hate me or you know you suck.
Well, shit! If you've listened so far.
Yeah. I was not surprised about Han Solo's death at all. I actually thought that was the second they walked out there. As soon as I saw that, and the other thing, originally, apparently, Harrison Ford wanted the character to die at some point, and he's too old.
Guido didn't kill him.
I actually thought having him die was a really good add-on for the story. I actually thought it was really well done because then you have one character who hates him more. You have the Rey, who hates Kylo Ren, so that adds up for a battle with her dark side. And that also adds for Kylo Ren realizing at some point down the line he killed his father, and so they could add a greater struggle there. And you add having you have Chewbacca, who has a blood debt with Han Solo.
Yes, but now I got a question for you guys. Did Chewbacca bother you?
What about Chewbacca?
What about Chewbacca?
The fact that Chewbacca looks the exact same that he did in the Clone Wars?
No.
He hasn't aged a day.
Well, no. I mean, did you want him to be gray?
I mean, yeah, seriously.
Dude,
like
No. Okay, hold on. Now, they do gray. Wookiee's gray, guys.
Well, I mean...
And the reason why I know this... Hold on. The reason why I know this is because this is part of the Christmas special.
Oh, shit.
I don't believe you're even mentioning that. At this point, does that even count? I mean, come on.
I don't know. George Lucas removed his name from it. Oh, and guys, George Lucas didn't have anything to do with this film. Shut up.
So the one thing that I was surprised at, because the original Star Wars 4, 5, and 6 is kind of full of archetype characters.
Can you say Awakens?
No, I can't. Okay. I can barely say what I'm trying to say.
Just saying.
You know, and everybody's kind of a stereotypical character. And this one, not so much. I mean, you had the main bad guy, what's his name?
Kylo Ren?
No, the other bad guy.
Soul?
Was that his name? The guy who said, fire the weapon or whatever.
Oh, no. I thought you were talking about the actual, like, Sith Lord.
Well,
I don't think you saw enough
of him to call him a typical character. I mean, he was enough. I think there's starting to be shades of gray in the characters, which I think will also help the series a little.
I think they've kind of established sort of the new normal. You know what I mean? The new archetypes. You know, your main characters, your main protagonists could be women and black people, and not to mention, you know, have kind of an off type sort of bad guy, not this big brooding character, sort of this spindly dude who looks pretty tall, but you know, and is kind of conflicted in kind of that emo sort of way, but is still really incredibly powerful when you stop the freaking blaster bolt in midair.
By the way, I love the fact that you just called Kylo Ren emo. That's That's
he
awesome.
He does kind of look emo.
No, no, he
now,
is.
I don't see the resemblance
in him. But it makes it funny that the fact that, you know, Darth Vader's grandson is emo. That makes me laugh.
Kind of is, you know what I mean? You got your father's
so
sort of legacy and whatnot, and then, you know, here's this kid just trying to find his own way and then stumbles across, you know, that his grandfather was the thing, probably went searching for that helmet for a bunch of years. Surprised that he found it intact, though, because didn't he die with it off?
It wasn't completely intact, but it was left on the Death Star.
Yeah.
But, no, because they actually had it in the fire.
Was it when they burned him?
Yeah, it was in there when they burned him.
So I'm... You know,
that's right. It was with them when they burned him.
So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing the loose ends they left. Like, how that one lady find Luke's original lightsaber.
I hope to see a lot from her character. She was friggin' awesome.
Yeah, I thought she was really cool. Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Like, the one I want to see tied up is the how they found the lightsaber, how they found his Darth Vader's helmet.
I don't think they're going to tell you how they found Darth Vader's helmet. I don't see that.
You know,
coming up.
Could see in a moment of emo-ness, I could see what's his name actually saying, what I went through to find him. I could see that. That would add to the story about his struggle.
I don't know. I mean, it depends. I'm sure they got a lot to add to his struggle. But yeah, I mean, like I said before, they really took their time and enjoyed the setup of what's going to be coming next, you know?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Anything else that really...
You know, I had something, but I don't remember what it was. There's some scene that I really wanted to mention, but I can't think of it.
Oh, I love the bread scene. That was a little, seriously. That was a little touch that I was like, oh, that's awesome.
And yeah, that was.
Oh, that's what I was saying.
Chemistry.
The sets, I mean, we talked about it before, but the sets have a very tactile scene. It's not like like J.J. Abrams' Star Trek where everything looked better than Next Generation. Everything had the hard button feel. It looked literally like it just continued from the 80s when the other one, the Return of the Jedi, was made. That was the thing I respected the most. They didn't improve it. They kept with the look. I really want to give him a round of applause for not doing it a lot of movie people do and just making the technology grand like they did with the prequels.
Yeah, the only thing that I saw that was a really big difference were the X-Wings. And the only big difference on the X-Wings was the engines and how they were attached to the wings and how they separated and stuff. I thought that was a good little touch. Yeah. I don't know if people really noticed that, but I did. I thought it was a good touch.
I think I do like the little bit of evolution of technology because it's been 30 years, so a technology should have shifted a little. So I definitely...
But it is still a guerrilla war that they're fighting.
Oh, yeah.
That's actually what I was going to mention. Did you guys also kind of find it interesting that the only trooper that could really hit his target was the one that left?
No.
Did you notice that? That he was actually hitting his target pretty good. And I like why can't I think of the name of it? But the weapon that the guy had, the other stormtrooper, that was almost like a baton.
It reminded me of one of the weapons from one of the Halos. You know, those monkey guys would carry.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I thought that was one of the things that pointed out to me that anybody can use a lightsaber, but only a Jedi would have been good enough to stop that stormtrooper.
Yeah, but the thing, there was a lot of good detail in the film that I thought was pretty cool. The difference in the lightsaber blades, like Kylo Ren's versus Luke's design. Actually, no, that wasn't Luke's design.
Darth Vader's and Luke's design.
Whatever. But the difference in how the blade structures were. I was talking to Ryan about this, and I was kind of explaining how the actual components
would do that.
I thought that was really cool.
I would also say that Darth Vader's and Kylo Ren's, I think the difference is Darth Vader's is during the height. It's like refined Jedi technology versus Kylo Ren's, I think, not slapshot.
Well, it's a samurai sword versus a flame
sword. Yeah. I would say that his is not as refined, you know, if that makes sense.
Well, I think...
Not as romantic.
I'm not gonna get into the details of it, but yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah. He went for a rough design where it's more fear than anything else.
Maybe because there's not a lot of Siths around.
on that note, I kind of want to give a nod to the dope ass sound mixing in this friggin' movie.
Yes.
The way the blast.
Durs.
Hello, Mark calling Orson. Mark calling Orson.
3, 2, 1,
go.
Lightsaber sounded. No.
Yeah. I agree. The sounds of the battles and everything.
But that's the one thing Star Wars has done, always done well.
And well, I thought one of the things that Ryan brought up that I thought was really cool is the impact of the TIE fighter blasters hitting the ground and the decimation that they did.
Yeah.
In the sand. I thought that was a pretty cool thing. Like, yeah. It was just the percussion of it was enough to knock people back.
And I think we need to talk about a little bit of how
I wonder if Rey, it melted the sound.
A little bit of how Rey felt her way into the Force. You know, which
okay,
which
that
according
was something in my notes, as
which
well.
According to at least what I've seen of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, she's the only one that I've seen or they've shown who is that adept at using it that way. Well, like within a couple of tries, was able to, you know, brainwash the
I
guy.
I think what it really came down to is the fact that she really didn't have anybody affecting her mind. Like, her parents weren't around. She was isolated, so she got to understand herself better. And then she gets awakened.
Like natural instinct.
Like the actual film, like awakens. Ugh, so when it awakens ass. In her, that she is more open to allowing it to affect her and be led by it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, she's a lot more natural. She doesn't have Luke Skywalker's, I'm a good guy, I'm a bad guy. Because
there's all the people that are on the internet like, oh, how can she, an untrained Force-sensitive, because she's not a Jedi, she's just Force-sensitive at this time, fight against somebody who's trained and killed all these Jedis and even Luke ran from them. Because she's allowing the Force to move through her. Like when Obi-Wan put the blaster shield on his and was like, you know, feel the attack.
See, but Luke, the other thing I'd say is the way they put it, that made it sound is Luke didn't run from him. Luke ran from himself. Like, because of the
shame of not knowing.
Exactly. That's kind of the way I took it. It was more like Luke not wanting to finish business. If it makes sense.
Well, that's the way I took it was, I mean, he just couldn't take, you know, something like that happening and just was like, all right, well, I'm just going to go now.
And I want to talk.
But as far as her sort of Force awakening, if you will.
Awakening.
It's awakened. Not a Robin Williams movie.
I understand the subtitle of the movie. I'm referencing her Force awakening. Anyway, with that. It's Luke didn't have a whole shit ton of time with Obi-Wan Kenobi before he died.
Very true.
They were on their way to do shit. He had a little bit of time with him on the Falcon, maybe a little bit of time in between. He was kind of giving him some pointers. Luke basically was aware of the Force, got a little bit of training with the blast shield down and the little practice droid. And then beyond that, saw him do the little Force move with the hand. He only
mind blown. Back.
It was a lot when his Luke figured out a lot of shit on his own before out again.
Yeah, you cut out again. But
no,
we got the gist of what you meant. Yeah,
and I want to talk about a little bit because
he figured out a lot of stuff on his own. You know what I mean?
And we're gonna skip movie news, just because. This is Star Wars, after all. If we have time, we'll talk about it. I do want to talk about a little bit of the next couple of movies, because I think they're going to do a trilogy, because Star Wars apparently is about trilogies. What do you think? A quadrilogy? Just like Aliens. So what do you think is going to happen? Any major points, small points?
Well, I think what they're really going to do is, you know, with Luke and Rey, they're going to kind of do...
because I think it's going to be...
What was the planet that Yoda was on?
Dagobah?
Dagobah, yes. They're going to do the Dagobah scenes with Luke and Rey type thing.
In the first temple.
Yeah, at the first temple.
I have a feeling it's going to be like the first Highlander when Sean Connery were, you know, doing the immortal thing.
The area is green and around the sea does not mean it's Highlander, okay?
You know what I mean.
Anyways, so I think they're going to be doing the Dagobah thing. I think... as far as Finn goes, is that he's going to kind of fall under the wing of Chewie. I don't think he's going to go for Poe.
Do you think he's going
to... I want to see more Chewie.
Do you think he's going to battle his programming? Because that's the one thing they talked about a little bit.
You know, I was kind of hinting at this with Ryan a little bit, is there's a... When you see them killing the town, and all of a sudden he kind of becomes conscious and aware of what's going on, and he's like, okay, I don't like this. You see Kylo Ren kind of like snap over at him and like type things. So I don't know if they're going to have him kind of have a little bit of force sensitivity. I think that may come into play.
But what I want to see more Kylo of... Ren might have just noticed the nonconformity of the event.
Yeah, that's the other thing that it could be.
Or he's sensitive enough to people, like he's used to the stormtroopers' kind of blind obedience, that maybe he sensed something.
Yeah, I was thinking that could be it too.
Because I think it'd be nice if they didn't make him struggle, like struggle with his programming more of he wants to do better. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I get what you mean. Yeah. And then I think that what we're going to see more of, I think, is we're going to see more interaction between Supreme Leader Snoke and Kylo Ren. I think that's going to be a big one. I kind of have a feeling this is going to be like, not so much Empire Strikes Back exactly, but it's going to be, you're going to get introduced to what's going on with the Sith more.
That would be
cool. Well, let me tell you this. That's shit's going to get worse before it gets any better. That's the way these things roll, and I can't freaking wait for the, so to speak, Empire Strikes Back of this next trilogy.
Do you think C-3PO is going to be dismantled again?
No, I think he's going to keep the red arm, and I kind of dig it.
I just want another Jabba. I mean,
arm.
I'd be happy if a Hutt showed up somewhere.
Well, I think they're going to have those excellent side characters. I think they already friggin' nailed
it. With a hammer.
Help me out here, guys. It's time. Anyway.
Yeah. We were kind of covering you a little bit.
But I love so much more about this than I really expected to. I mean, the hype on these kinds of things is so crazy, which is pretty much half the reason I avoid all sort of advertisements to it, because
in all honesty,
point, the anticipation of it, I mean, it goes for so long that you expect these big things and they usually disappoint you. I got out of it I feel like what I kind of put into it as far as anticipation.
I actually think this movie didn't have a whole lot of hype to it, viral marketing, dude. Besides the fact it's Star Wars.
It's Disney. They don't do viral. They do
They did with Tron. They do some sort of viral marketing, but this movie, just because of the fact it's Star Wars, automatically shot everything through the roof. I give this movie 5 out of 5 just because I appreciated the fact this was a slow movie. They didn't bite the bullet and do what modern movies do. You have physical effects with CGI, which is the best way to do it. And you had all the original characters, a bunch to nod to 4, 5, and 6. So yeah, to me, this is 5 out of 5. No,
I didn't see the original Obi-Wan.
He'll be in there somewhere. Don't worry, he'll be there with Christian Haydenson at the end of the movie.
And I don't remember even who the actor was that was supposed to be Anakin before whatever his name showed up.
Yeah. So, but what do you give it?
Talking to me?
Sure.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were looking at. I don't know. You say a name. God damn it,
Ryan. What do you give it?
I'm right with you, man. 5 out of 5, dude, for sure. They nailed it in every single part that counts, and didn't do anything that was egregious at all. And I mean, how do you not do something that's going to piss some large group of sci-fi fans off for one reason or another?
Yeah. There were points.
I don't think they could have done any better. Honestly, everything kind of came together.
I would say
all I can do is look forward to the next one.
I would say there are probably a little bit here and there I could nitpick if I really want to be particular, but I just enjoyed this. This movie was a fun ride. So James.
Yeah, I think I agree with you guys. I don't think this is my all-time favorite. Return of the Jedi still there, but I think this one is up on par with it as well. So it's a 5 out of 5.
Yeah, Abrams is playing the long game with this one.
Yeah, and I was impressed. I think he did a fantastic job. I honestly don't think Lucas could have done any better.
I actually think the reason
we know that Lucas couldn't have done any better.
I think this is the sole reason why I liked it as much is because Lucas didn't turn it into 1, 2, and 3. Well, I honestly really hate.
This is the difference. They both basically got a call. They're marathon runners who've been training for marathons their whole life. Lucas got the call, you're in the big one, and he got out of the block sprinting. Winded himself out and burnt out all of his good stuff and added a bunch of bullshit and just limped across the finish line. Abrams just trotted off right off the gate, just kind of trotting. And that's where he is now. He's playing a marathon game with this one, and he's gonna keep killing it, I think.
I also think it really helps J.J. Abrams that I bet he's a fan of the material and he's respectful of it. I think George Lucas's problems being the creator, I don't think he necessarily has respect versus the vision he has for it.
Dude,
and I mean, think that's what affected it personally, if that makes sense.
I think if Abrams had screwed this up, he would literally be burned at the stake.
Oh, it would have killed his career.
I think fans would find him and kill him.
Oh, yeah. For the types of movies that he makes, nobody would ever go see another one. It's like, why would I see that shit? He ruined Star Wars.
You know? No, seriously.
I realize how stupid of an analogy that was with the freaking marathon thing. It was dumb.
No, I got your point. It was, you know.
I made my point just in the most random way possible.
He's drinking crack.
It was stretching it a tad bit. But no, I appreciated your attempt. And so.
That's cute. You tried, Ryan. Good job.
I know. But yeah.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, I gave Star Wars Force Awakens 5 out of 5. James gave it 5 out of 5. Ryan gave it 5 out of 5. And next week, we're going to do the movie Science of Sleep, made in 2006. It's a movie that our dear departed friend tried to get me to watch forever, just never had the chance.
And people waiting for us to do the Krampus reveal, we are going to do it. We will discuss Krampus.
Yeah.
But yeah.
We'll do it about mid May, maybe early June.
Exactly, when it's released on DVD, Blu-ray, Betamax.
I mean, yeah, why would you release about a Christmas movie with Star Wars? It's just so hard to find.
Right.
Seriously.
And as always, thank you for watching.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.